Praise the Lord. I'm Bishop Eric Lambert of the Bethel Deliverance International Church. We want to invite you to come share with us in the blessing of Good Friday service and, of course, Resurrection Day. For the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the time when we commemorate the death of Jesus and his powerful resurrection. We know that without his death, we would not be able to walk in the liberty and the peace of God. And we know without his resurrection, we would not be able to have access to the throne of God, having an intercessor to pray for us and a powerful Savior to walk beside us. You see, here at Bethel, we have services that are designed to lift the name of Jesus. On Good Friday, we will gather to commemorate what Jesus did on the cross in shedding his precious blood to wash away our sins. On Resurrection Sunday, we gather together at 6 in the morning and then again at 10 a.m. so that we may sing songs of worship and praise and thank our mighty God for raising Jesus from the dead. The Bible said, if the powers of darkness had known that Jesus would rise from the dead, they would have never crucified him. I'm glad that God can keep a secret. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he got up with all power in his hand, went and took the keys from the devil. So we are going to celebrate. For us, it's not Easter, it's Resurrection Day. So we invite you to join us. The information will be on the screen, and I look forward to sharing not only Good Friday, but also the power of Resurrection Day. God bless you, and we'll see you in church.
Plan now to join us for Good Friday service, Friday, March 30th at 1 p.m. in the afternoon, and for Resurrection Day services, Sunday, April 1st at 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. So come join us as we celebrate our risen Lord.
If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I have never in my life witnessed the level of attack against the minds of believers. In all my years of walking with God, I have never seen it this bad. It is so bad that the Lord is troubling me. He did it as early as this morning in my office, that my people consistently come to me and their minds are bruised. They think they're hearing from me, but they're hearing their own hearts. One of the things that I shared with the prophetic school a few sessions ago, I don't even know when it was. I think when it first started, they asked me to speak to them. And I said these words as the Spirit gave me direction. He said, never prophesy from your frustration. Never tell people what God is telling you about you. And then make it a prophetic word to them. It causes confusion. What the Lord taught us was that there are many people who think that they're prophetic, but really they're frustrated. And they bring it out to others. Their life testimony is not worthy of a prophetic person. They're hurting inside, they're bruised inside, they're frustrated, they've had rotten relationships that have caused disillusionment, and their minds are not regulated. They make decisions that affect not only them, but others around them and their family. And they pray and say, God, deliver me from this. And God says, there's no deliverance because you made that bed for yourself. One of the problems in Pentecostal Christianity is that we want God to excuse immaturity. We make bad choices. And then we want others to share in our bad choice. We become unhappy. And then we become demonized. Not demon-possessed, but demonized, which means that because the devil is a spirit, he imitates God. And so we begin to look for ways out of our dilemma. And usually those ways consist of getting more involved in church work. And the more church work we do, the more we can stay away from confronting us because we're confronting everybody else. And the more fault I can find in you, the less I'll find it in me. You've been there long enough. The blessings of God are being shut off from our own frustrations. Some of us those frustrations are working out through physical illness. Physical illness that is spiritual means that the doctor can't find the reason. The medicine isn't working. The treatment has not yielded any benefits. That's when you know it's spiritual. When you find that you have a spiritual sickness, the first thing you do is to assess people that are around you. Before you even assess yourself, assess the people that are around you, because you may be the victim of what I call the Typhoid Mary syndrome. History said Typhoid Mary never contracted typhus, but those around her were hit with typhus. Hence, we have the name Typhoid Mary. And there may be someone in your life that's carrying a mental sickness to you, a spiritual bondage to you, and you've been praying and asking God, and you just can't get free. There is always a reason. Never buy into that. Some things just don't have an explanation. Yes, they do. Because God said, I have a plan. If you've been asking God to give you something and he has not done it, it's because you're not ready. Here's what I would suggest. Stop asking. When you're ready, it'll come. Because the more you ask, you're getting frustrated that it hasn't come. You're getting frustrated. And this is how the frustration will work out. You'll start becoming critical of your surrounding. And then it's everybody. When it becomes everybody, you're in danger. Jesus said, before you take the toothpick out of your brother's eye, he said, take the log out of your own. It's a brilliant psychological story. Here's what he's saying. The fault that I see in somebody else is magnified by the fault in me. That little fault in them, if I look in me, I see the same thing greater. In fact, 90% of the time, what I see in them is the result of me seeing it in me. Because when you really walk in love, love doesn't think evil. It doesn't spot wrong. We think we're giving people order, but we're really trying to run their lives. The greatest lesson that I've learned in 30 years of pastoring is twofold. Number one, there is a Savior named Jesus. And number two, I'm not him. That helps me sleep at night. You are going to have situations unfold in your life that are hideous, demonic, satanic, fleshly, humanistic, and only God can bring you out. Resist the urge to call me and call him. According to Ephesians, I'm supposed to do exactly what I did today, give you the principles to fight back. There was a boy named Sylvester who followed me home from school in second grade. I lived right around the corner from Pratt Arnold. He followed me home, and he harassed me from 22nd Street to my house at 2107. He hit me when we got to Van Pelt Street, and I kept walking. I knew that if I could get home, my mother would take care of this. Mama was in the window leaning out. She saw him hit me at Van Pelt Street. When I got home, Mama was down at the door. I said, all right, Sylvester, you're going to get it. Mama looked at me and said, hit him back. She said, and if you don't do it, I'm going to beat you. I wore that boy out. He never touched me again and went on to become my friend. You see, we call on God. He's looking at everything. But he's not going to fight those battles that you can fight. I'm not talking about spiritual battle against the devil. That battle belongs to God. I'm talking about the battle with people. You fight them the way Jesus said. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Paul said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a glass of water. He said, when you do that, you heap coals of fire on their heads. Jesus said, if you have aught with your brother, go to them and confess the fault between you and them alone. He doesn't say text them. He doesn't say email them. He said go to them. Why? Because the truth is in the eye. And when you look in that person's eye and say, I've wronged you and I'm sorry. Bethel, I've wronged you and I'm sorry. That I have not preached everything God told me because I didn't want to hurt and offend people. Because I wanted to dance through the minefield of making people feel good. I wanted to make sure my preaching was just right so that no one would be offended and then I'd leave here and have to repent at my desk. Because I have not given the whole counsel of God. God said in the book of Ezekiel that if I tell you to warn the people, they do not respond. He said, then their blood is required at their own hand. But if I tell you to warn them and you do not do it because you're afraid of hurting somebody or the trouble that comes afterwards. He said, and you don't warn them and they die in that situation. He said, then I'm going to require their blood at your hand. And I made a resolution that I am not standing before God with bloody hands. You can get mad at me. You can say you don't like what I say. You can even be offended by what I say. But I will no longer hold back the counsel of God. Now, I'm apologizing to you, but now it's over. I've apologized. It's over. I ain't doing it no more. I love you, and I want you to stand before God. I am not looking at faces. I don't even know who's here. If you asked me who was sitting on the front row, I wouldn't even know, because my mind and my soul is locked in on the Holy Spirit. I will only say what he tells me to say. I enter into covenant with you. I will not use this pulpit to say anything personal or anything that's in me because of a frustration with someone else. I give you my word as a man of God that I will not beat up on you. I will not fuss with you, put you down, or ridicule you. I will not call you out and tell your sins publicly unless you're in leadership. And that's what Paul tells Timothy. We cannot have a change until I swear that I will give what God gives me to give. And so now, I'm entering into that covenant. I will bring no shame on you. I will not disgrace you out in the world. I will not bring a reproach against the kingdom of God or the house called Bethel. I will walk worthy of the vocation that I'm called and live by the calling that I have on my life. I will not have a double standard. I will live what I preach. If I say it out my mouth, I will live it. If God changes it, I will tell you. But we are going to be a family. And this family will have one father. You will have thousands of instructors, but only one father, and that's me. I want everybody at one point, we're going to go on a trip. We're going to go on a field trip, and I'm going to take you to a place where no one does anything wrong. It's right down the street. It's right on the corner of Wadsworth and Sheltenham. It's a cemetery. You can walk in there and look at all the headstones and say, he's not doing nothing wrong, she's not doing nothing. Those are the only people who don't do anything wrong. They're the only people who don't sin. John said, if we say we have no sin, we lie, then we have the sin of pride. You've been here long enough.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1218P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.